Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
And so my first reaction was to check my phone and see where Ja Morant was traded. And then I realized he was talking about Ja Rule.
Because he performed. Tiki sent us a video of him performing.
And then I saw the video of him performing. We'll get some baseball coming up, including the fact that the Mets have signed yet another former Yankee. But after last night's game and the Knicks' victory over the San Antonio Spurs, I want to play you a clip of Mike Brown because he was very impassioned. Not about the cup, not about a banner, but about Jalen Brunson being the MVP of the NBA. Take a listen.
Obviously, the MVP is Jalen, and I hope now on this stage, when you start talking about MVP candidates, his name is one of the first to come out your mouth, because on this stage, to go get it done while winning, is what, in my opinion, an MVP is about. So you guys do your job.
Okay. First
is that
of all,
a threat?
I love how passionate he is about his players. I think that's great. We could sit here and disagree with it all day. I think that Jalen probably appreciates that, as humble as he is. But I have a couple of clerical questions.
Okay.
Does that game count in the MVP discussion? Oh. It wasn't even a regular season game.
No. Stats don't count as regular season anyway. That cannot count. But it does help the... Like, when you see a good court show and they go, strike that from the record, does the jury ever really strike it from the record?
No. I was actually an alternate juror a little over a year ago, and no, I never struck anything from the record.
Exactly.
They told me to, and I'm like, how can I do that?
And that's what this
is. I already heard it.
Exactly. And that's what this is. You saw him at that peak, you know, playing against the Spurs and closing out the game. You can't strike that from the voter's record.
I have one other clerical question. There is a rule in the modern NBA, it's a good rule, that you need to play in 65 games to qualify for the MVP award. Mm-hmm. Now, Jalen has only missed three, so he would still need to miss a bunch more games to not qualify for the MVP award. But let me ask you this question. Query me this. What if he ends up playing 64 regular season games and he misses the requirement by one? This game last night doesn't count?
Nope. That's a screw job. No, that it's got to count for it. You can't pick and choose what it counts towards.
That would be a big problem. I'd have a big problem with that. Imagine that.
Only you would think of that, by
the way.
You're
damn right I'm the only one that thinks of it. And you know what? In 4 months, you guys will say, I heard someone say that.
You've also, by the way, had a rough Idiots with Idioms day here today.
Have I? I haven't heard any.
Query me this?
Yeah, query me this.
Riddle me this.
I think they both work.
And there was another one you said earlier. I was like, what the hell did you say?
Save it and send it to me.
Okay.
Or send it to Dan. I would say this in all fairness to Jalen, who continues to get better and better every year. I don't think he's the MVP of the league. I think SGA and Nikola Jokic and even Luka are probably ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand the passion. Would you care, Tommy, if he won the MVP? Like, the Knicks have had one MVP in their history, so it's not like the Mets, who have had zero. But it was a long time ago. It was Willis Reed, the year they won their first NBA championship. Would that, like... matter?
Yeah, definitely. It would be validation for Jalen and everything that he's meant to this town and this team and this organization. So I think that it would stamp him as a superstar player, because I still think he's like fighting uphill for that, where he's not universally considered a star in the league by everybody. Winning the MVP would stamp that.
Yeah, I think he's got... Here are some of the things that hurt him, besides the fact that Jokic and SGA should be ahead of him. I was talking earlier about the Pistons, how I may not buy them. If they end up winning 60 games... Cade Cunningham, stats or not, is the MVP. Because you look at the rest of that roster, it's not nearly as good, in my opinion, as the rest of the Knicks roster.
It always goes back to value versus outstanding.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. So I don't think he's going to win the MVP, but I do think it's cool that Mike Brown is that passionate about it. I think that's good. I think that's good for your players. And I think that as humble as Jalen is, who immediately after the game didn't want to take any credit, wanted to throw it all to Tyler Kolek and Mitchell Robinson and Jordan Clarkson, you know, as a competitor, he wants that recognition.
Of course
he wants that acknowledgement.
And Mike Brown doing that is the fastest way to make sure your players don't stab you on the back when they meet with ownership about how the job you did.
It's a good thought. It's a good way to think ahead, just in case. Marcelo is calling from Monroe. What's up, Marcelo?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I was calling in before just because they were talking about Josh Hart with a thumb near Jalen Brunson's rear, and I just had to say he was checking his oil. They couldn't think of what it was called. It's called checking his oil.
I knew there was a term for it, and that's what it is. But Sean and Loogie and Connor, no offense, are not hip enough to know said term. But that is the term, because I had that confirmed to me on
checking his oil.
Social media and text messages. It's called checking one's oil.
The tushy really jumped out at me.
They don't try to sell you a cabin filter after that?
Ask Josh, maybe he does.
Okay.
Let's go to JR in Somerville. What's shaking, JR?
Oh, my goodness. Checking, that's not a term that anybody should know. So the fact that Luigi's not hip enough, or whoever's not hip enough to know that.
Who knows the term, JR? Josh Hart knows the term. I can promise you that.
Yeah, well, listen, Josh Hart, those two, he's a little bit of a weirdo for that. But, I mean, and Fat Leonard, I mean, Sean Marash over there, the fact that he actually does that and fumbling, that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me.
Did you trademark that? You called me Fat Leonard?
Yeah, Fat Leonard.
Van Tiki never used that. He's fat.
I not only do I like that, I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, and you're not that fat either. So somebody mentioned that the other day. I'm just saying it because it's part of the whole thing. But whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a couple things on the whole thing. It stopped killing NBA on Prime because I think that's been a phenomenal offering, and it's not just about Taylor Rooks sitting on expensive furniture. The whole studio show's great. I'm enjoying Sam Van Gundy. D Wade's probably the best commentator, color analyst in the NBA right now.
In fairness, I think the only criticism that has been levied at Amazon Prime's coverage was merely the Stan Van Gundy kiss ass spot, in which he decided to jump on Ian Eagle's call to kiss the tuchus of Adam Silver. Outside of that, I do agree with you. I think the pre and post are awesome. I think they strictly stick to just talking basketball.
Yeah.
I think the broadcast overall is awesome. You know how I feel about Ian. So I agree with you. The criticism, though, was merely at Stan Van Gundy deciding to use 30 seconds to, kiss Adam Silver's ass for no reason. That's all.
And the first 30 seconds, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right about that. Now, the other thing is you two are coming together for another Mush show. I'm happy that the architect's breaking this up, okay, because The fact that you guys are coming in here and saying that the Knicks are going to be, just in the NBA Finals is scaring me. All your points are pretty good. They're all pretty good. But they're scaring me. The thing with the Mets that one weekend before they went, and the Yankees before they went down the drain, that scares me. Every time Evan mentions a player.
JR.
Are we never going to live that down?
We're never going to live that down, at least my end of it, because the Yankees ended up winning 94 games and making the playoffs when we argued who's better and the Mets season got derailed. This is an example of what I talked about with the banner and how the Knicks can't win. If the Knicks hang a banner, they're mocked. If they don't hang a banner, they're thumbing their nose at the league. I can't win, okay? I don't like the Knicks. I've been very open and honest about that, but I also really try hard to be fair. And as JR has pointed out, I've been nothing but fair today. I've made a lot of good points about why the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. But JR can't get past that somehow I'm going to jinx them. And let me tell you a little message about jinxing. Jinxing is for the weak-minded. It's for the weak-minded. I have nothing to do with what could derail the New York Knicks. Just like I had nothing to do with the Mets getting derailed through June, July, August, and September. If you want to write an angry letter at someone, write it at the feet of David Stearns. Don't blame me. If the Knicks fail, go write a letter to whoever causes the Knicks to fail. All I can do is be honest. And I dare anybody to debate it. They are the best team in the East. And they're the best team in the East by a lot. Now, if you've got scars from being a Knicks fan, dude, I get it. I understand it. If your argument's going to be, but I'm a Knick fan and I expect bad stuff to happen, okay, fine. I can't talk you out of that, just like no one could talk me out of stuff with the Jets or the Mets. But I'm just being real with you. They're good. They're really good. And they're better than everyone else in the Eastern Conference until something changes. And we're sitting here in the middle of December, and nothing has changed.
Fat Leonard agrees.
You like that nickname?
I love it.
Would you like me to buy you a t-shirt for 2026 that says Fat Leonard?
Sure, why not? Huh? Also, we should let JR know when he said, I'm happy the architect is breaking this up. You and I will continue working together in the middays. It's Tommy that's being broken.
Well, I think he also means that Tiki comes back from vacation. So Tiki can also keep you away.
I got you.
That won't be broken up, yes. Let's go to Matt in Hillsboro, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
What's up, boys? So I'm sitting with my college-age daughter, and we talked about Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. She revealed something to me that I'm not thrilled with.
I'm in college. I'm in college, and I live in constant fear with my roommate. She always, quote, checks my oil, me and my friends. So it's kind of like a little war in the dorm sometimes. It's a little scary.
You should punch him in the face, honestly, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you slap him across the face and say, don't do that?
But do you reciprocate? But do you reciprocate in checking her oil?
Of course. Game is game.
What college is this, by the way? Just curious.
Yep. I go to Montclair. Like, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen, you know?
I thought you were complaining about it. So you're saying this is just a part of life, that she checks your oil, you check her oil, and it's all fair game.
It's going to happen at some point to everyone, so...
I'm listening.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you think of this situation?
I'm horrified. If you could just see the sweat rolling down the back of my neck,
I'm
horrified that this came out. Well, and the best is she thought this was a podcast. When you went to commercial, she goes, I think the podcast is over. I'm like, no. I'm like, they went to air. And then she asked if you just call me back. She's like, I don't want to run hold. Will they just call you back?
So you've also teaching her about modern radio compared to podcasts. I like it. Well, good luck with the oil checking going on at Montclair.
If you guys need an intern, you guys can teach me about the radio if y'all need an intern.
All right. See if we can pull that off. Sean, you're the new executive producer of Evan and Tiki. You want to get her information and see if she wants an intern?
I would love to get her information.
All right, we'll put you on hold. Get her information. We'll see if we're hiring interns around.
I hope there's a lot of Jiffy Lube at Montclair.
It's party time.
I feel bad for her dad.
I do too.
Her dad's I'm horrified by this whole thing.
I would just say this. Suddenly kids running around saying 6'7", not the worst thing in the world.
I love how at first I thought she said her roommate was a dude. And I was like, so many things here.
I don't know.
It's Three's Company. Yeah. They're checking oil. Like, this feels bad all around.
Could you imagine turning to your father on holiday break at college being like, it's checking the oil, Dad. Me and my girlfriends do this to each other all the time.
I don't see you getting her in his information.
I'm about to get it now. Just think about how many guys just enrolled to Montclair University, though, after that phone call.
Well, thank you.
There's a safe word.
Not good for Iona.
Let's go to Andre in Plainfield. What's up, Andre?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Evan's purported... I just wanted to talk about his purported... as status as the leader of the coalition of Knick haters. Mm-hmm. Personally, I like to challenge it because I feel like he tries a little too hard to be fair to the Knicks. Under this guise of fairness, I think he's a closet Knick fan.
Let me ask you this.
I think his privilege is leadership.
let me ask you this.
Go for it.
What have I said, at least today, that was crossing the line in terms of being fair and being too nice to the New York Knicks? Go ahead.
Well, I guess the first time when I heard that you had season tickets and the fact that you were mailed a golden season ticket, that to me was seen as like, that was like crossing the line. It's like, you can't be a Net fan and a supposed Knick hater and have a golden season Knick ticket.
Okay. So that is a very good retort. Mm. And my answer to that is,
I'm also a Nets season ticket holder.
Right.
Like, I have tickets to my favorite basketball team and my least favorite basketball team. And as I explained to James Dolan the one time I met him, when he looked at me and said, why do you have Knicks season tickets? My answer was, I like to go to your building and root against your team, which is what I do.
Yeah.
That's okay. I love basketball.
He banishes other people for that.
Yes. But he doesn't banish me
because
I give him money. So the whole season ticket thing, I don't think disqualifies me. In fact, it gives me more credibility. And as I've said before, and I don't mean to attack the fandom of our fellow FAN coworkers, the returning Craig Carton is a good Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm.
Gio is a good Knicks fan. Boomer's kind of a fraud, more of a Ranger guy. And they're great Knicks fans. But I also think they have scars of being Knicks fans. And because you have scars the way I do with the Jets and I do with the Mets, sometimes you can't see clearly, right? Those scars get in the way. And I admit that all the time when I talk about the teams I love. I feel I've got the clearest vision of the New York Knicks of anybody at this radio station because I don't have scars. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy watching.
A consumer.
And I'm a consumer, and I'm being honest. And so to our last caller, that honesty, which right now is a really positive state, feels like I'm too nice. I'm not too nice. I'm calling it like it is. There are times in which I come on the radio and I say things that make you uncomfortable about the Knicks. And I was wrong. Like 2 years ago, I'll never forget it. I came on and said, you guys can never win a title with Jalen Brunson as your lead guy. Because quite frankly, I didn't think he was a top five player. Well, guess what? He's become that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wrong. So my vision, which is clear, crystal clear, sees what he's become. So it's not about kissing their ass or being nice or going too far. It's just about reacting to what I'm seeing. And I think they're really good. And I am fearful as I've ever been that there could be a parade in middle of June. They can absolutely win an NBA championship. And anyone who tells you otherwise has either the scars blocking their view or they're a hater.
You know how you could tell more than anything else that Evan Roberts can see clearly? Because during those last 2 minutes, I know all me and Tommy were thinking about are how many oil changes are going on at Montclair State University.
I haven't stopped thinking about it ever since.
I can't get over that's going on there.
You're very distracted by that phone call.
Who cares about the NBA Cup? Girls are giving each other oil changes at Montclair?
Your booty.
Let's go to Frank and Belmar.
Sexy midnight fantasy.
What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Big fan. So I had two things. So the first thing I said about the NBA Cup was I think it's a good opportunity for some of the new guys on the team and younger guys also to get some experience in playing for something that could win something. Like, you could win. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, get these guys some good experience. And I think that's a big thing for especially the locker room. And I'm totally in agreement with the banner should not be hung up in MSG. I totally agree with that. So my alternative is let's hang it in the practice facility. So it still honors the team. It still honors, you know, the players that were on that team. And you're not snubbing it to the NBA. And, just put it in the practice facility for the players.
I think that's fine. I think my idea I gave yesterday is still the best idea, which is the Knicks need to take down their Atlantic Division title banners. Stick it all on one banner, right? The Atlantic, and put the years that you won the Atlantic. And on that same banner in which you're honoring these accomplishments that no one cares about, you put in mid-season tournament or in-season tournament or cup, however you want to phrase it, so that accomplishments go on one banner. The New York Liberty have the same thing at Barclays Center. They have their WNBA title. They have their Eastern Conference. But they also have their in-season tournament that they won. I think it's called the Commissioner's Cup,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And they have their own banner. And I would just say, no, stick it on one banner with what I like to call minor accomplishments, like Mets wildcard berths all go on one banner. I think that's the fairest way to honor it without going too far.
Yeah, no, it's hard to disagree with that. Now,
you're still thinking about oil changes at that university, aren't you?
I can't believe what's going on over there. You think this is with yoga pants on? How is any work getting done at that school?
Do you think they would accept 40-year-old nighttime host on campus or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Are we doing a parade here, by the way, speaking of honoring them?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Do you want to do a parade, Tommy?
No.
What do you mean? No, it's not do you want to. We have promises for 3 years of the Cup. If the Knicks ever win.
We have promises.
We have. Evan, you do the old, hey, we pull our predictions. You have to honor what you say.
No, you're right.
You're a season ticket holder. You got
to
organize.
So I have to organize the parade. Do I have to march in the parade?
You're the one Knicks season ticket holder at the station. You got to lead the parade.
I'm not leading the parade. I think that Tommy should lead the parade.
I will not do such things.
But you're the leader of the dudes, the dogs, the damages, the whole thing.
No, but it's to make a mockery of it. That's all this is. It's a sham.
Why is it a mockery?
Because it's mocking that they won the NBA tournament and I'm going to parade around the
news. But isn't it less of a mockery now that we know the way the Knicks have handled it? No banner, no everything. Now you can celebrate it freely.
No, then I'll look like the lone idiot that did this.
Let's get back to oil changes. Abby is in New Jersey. What's up, Abby?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Evan.
What's up?
It's a fake name. It's a fake name.
Oh, okay. You want to keep your identity on the DL?
Yep.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Mine and my daughter's. Okay. So I have two college daughters. They both go to different colleges. They call this corn dogging. And I've seen them do it amongst their friends, and they've actually tried to do it to me, and I get very angry when it happens.
This is all the rage right now?
You're saying you get angry, but you're laughing about it. So
I'm laughing because it's ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
I'm even saying this out
so
loud.
You mean to tell me your daughters go to two separate colleges and they're just running around taking their thumbs and putting them in the areas?
I think it's like that girl said, game on. I don't know. It's a stupid thing that kids do. Like,
man, cooties like have come a long way.
Like the way Josh did it to Jalen.
Wow.
Like when you're not expecting it, there you go.
Well, thank you, Abby, or whatever your real name is. So what we're learning is, remember this about Josh and Jalen. They are not that far removed from college. They're in their late 20s. So we're talking about a half a decade ago. This is a trend at universities from men and women.
They call this corn dogging.
They call it corn dogging, as she said.
Corn dogging.
Yeah, so it's not oil change. Well, our last caller said oil change. So it's either an oil change or it's a corn dog.
Maybe it's different colleges called different things, like tournament and tournament. You know
That's
what I mean?
True. Are we going to start doing that around here now?
Well, I would say this. At the very least.
Sean, go corn dog Tommy.
I think HR would get involved with that. I do. Is this the biggest thing to come out of the 3 years of the NBA Cup? Is Josh Hart has brought awareness to oil change?
Feels that way, yes. Yes, awareness is now here.
I can't believe this.
Is it like the modern version of tag? Like tag, you're it? By the way, if you try that on me, you're coming with a thumb, you're leaving with a nub. Just know that. You leave
I would not try that on you, and now I feel uncomfortable.
I want to hear from a few Yankee fans. So let's start with you, Sean Morash. Luke Weaver was certainly a guy that at times you really liked, really trusted, was a big part of your bullpen for parts of two seasons. What's your view on the Yankees losing Luke Weaver to the New York Mets?
Well, I can say this definitively. For the second straight offseason, the Mets have signed Sean Morash's favorite Yankee. That's true.
That's how you felt about Luke Weaver?
I love Luke Weaver.
Yeah, I found an old tweet of you. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad you're walking right into it. This isn't a catch-you moment because you're backing it up. This is from May 22nd, 2025, right before Luke Weaver fell off the rooftop. Luke Weaver is the best and most trustworthy closer for the Yankees since Mariano. That was you.
Yeah, and
so
and was true at the time.
It's true, you love him. Yeah.
And it was true at the time. Obviously, whatever happened where if he was tipping a little pitches, location after he come back from the injuries. Here's the truth. You're an idiot if you don't watch baseball and understand that there are so more often than not, relievers are very year-to-year in Major League Baseball. And I believe that Luke Weaver's downside last year after the injury, as much as it was infuriating, tough to figure out. I mean, he blew that 4th of July game to the Mets. A lot of that was tough to handle. I was of the belief this offseason, even if the Yankees weren't going to bring him back, that I believe Luke Weaver is going to have a huge bounce back season. And I also think that Luke Weaver, for whether you liked him, didn't like him, his mentality and his kind of like odd persona and wiriness is really oddly fit perfect for late innings and pressure.
Yeah, he's a weird guy.
He's a weird guy in a good way.
Like, nice guy, weird guy.
Here, when you watched Devin Williams pitch last year, you couldn't figure out if Devin Williams like mentally just was crumbling under the pressure. I never thought that Luke Weaver's struggles had anything to do with like a mental crumbling of the moment. I think it was very mechanical and everything to do with it. So I say that to say, I expect Luke Weaver to have a really big year for the Mets.
So you thought it was a good move is what you're saying?
I thought it was a good move, and in the end, I believe Luke Weaver will ultimately prove to be the closer of the New York Mets by the time the season ends.
Wow. So you're not taking this time to mock the Mets yet again signing a Yankee castoff, if you will. Because in fairness, the Yankees did not pursue re-signing Luke Weaver, just like they did not pursue re-signing Devin Williams. Well, so whether they have great years or not, that may happen. It's their bullpen arms. The Yankees did not pursue keeping either guy.
Are we sure? Because yesterday there was a report the Yankees were one of 10 teams that are interested in it.
I heard that they weren't, but okay. Who knows? We know Devin for sure. Look, we know Devin for sure. Maybe not on Weaver.
It is fair to look at the Mets and go, oh my God, they got another ex-Yankee. In fact, when I did my 5 bold predictions for this winter, I said the Mets would sign at least one more Yankee. No. I brought up Luke Weaver. So I was right on that. I can't mock if I think the guy's going to be really good there.
All right. So that's a positive view from Sean Morash. I received an audio text message from a friend of mine.
All right.
And he did give me permission to play any part of the clip I wanted. It was a minute and a half long, so I picked the end of his conversation in which he was talking to me as a Yankee fan about Luke Weaver and Devin Williams.
Dude, the guy was awful. $11 million a year? So you basically spent how much? $24 million this year and next year and whatever on two relievers that suck for us. Congratulations.
That's very funny.
So do you share that belief?
Yeah, but again, I go back to what I said. They did suck for us last year at the end of the year, but relievers are year to year.
Listen, I think you actually have the right healthy view of this with relievers. There are very few relief pitchers that are sure things. Very few. Most of the time, you sign relievers, and you never know what you're going to get. Now, Luke is a little bit different because he's a converted starting pitcher, and I want to throw that out there. Let us not rule out that the Mets may move him to the rotation, which I am against, by the way.
Like, if they do that, then I'm totally mocking him.
Okay, me too. I'm against that as well. Like, Luke was a starting pitcher with Arizona and St. Louis, and he bounced around baseball, and even the Yankees. He made a few starts in 2023. When they moved him to the bullpen in 2024, he was awesome. He was awesome because he could pitch multiple innings. And he was really good, and he never let the pressure bother him. Last year, he got off to another great start until the hamstring issue, came back probably too early, and then from June on was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no disputing it. And the why is the big question. Like, why was he awful? Did the league figure him out? Well, if that's the case, that's deeply concerning. Was it his mechanics altering because he came back so quick from the hamstring? If that's the case, great. That's easily fixable.
Certainly possible.
Or is it tipping pitches, which is like what everyone says when things are going badly? I don't know the why, but obviously if the why is either of those last two things, that's easily fixable.
Yeah.
And if Luke Weaver can be half as what he was in 2024, it's a great signing.
I think it is too. His velocity never really dipped after that either. It felt like just location was just pinpoint off, which I think is a mechanical issue and is very correctable. Of all the things that have frustrated Met fans, I think you're going to be pleasantly happy with the summer you get from Luke Weaver, would be my projection.
I hope you're right. I mean, I looked at the relievers that were out there, and Pete Fairbanks was one of the top names. And what scared me about Fairbanks is that every year he got hurt. Every year there was a different injury. So as good as he was when he pitches, and certainly has more of a track record being a back end of the bullpen guy and stud than Luke Weaver, he also had such a long history of injuries. Luke Weaver had one injury last year, was hamstring, was very fluky. He was really good once he was converted. And assuming the Mets keep him in that role, which they better, because obviously moving him to the rotation changes the view of this signing, I think it's a fine gamble. Now, is $11 million too much to gamble? I mean, look at the other bullpen arms that were out there. Like, I mean, where are you going? Tyler Rogers made $11 million, and I think Tyler is more reliable than Luke Weaver, and I would have signed them, but obviously 3 years, 37 apparently was too much for the Mets as compared to 2 years, 22. But I think Rodgers was actually one of the rare guys that had such a reliable track record. But Luke Weaver's like most relievers. They don't have a 5 or 6 year track record of being really good. You just have to hope that the Mets are going to fix whatever issues hit Luke Weaver in the second half of 2025.
And if you look at the October of 2024, Luke Weaver has proven it in the big game more than Edwin Diaz has in his career at the back end.
Well, he had a lot of opportunities. So to your point, in the 2024 postseason, Luke Weaver pitched 15 out of third innings, allowed 3 runs, 16 strikeouts, 2 walks, pitched to a 1.76 ERA. So he pitched very well in the postseason. Obviously, this past postseason, no one wants to talk about that.
No.
Because he was atrocious. A third of an inning, 4 hits and 5 runs.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
He was unpitchable.
I agree.
So the Mets just have to fix that. So.
But they got a pitching lab, though, Evan. They should be able to clean that
they
up.
They just blew up the pitching lab.
How about the fact that they're employing 3 former Yankee closers, too?
Oh, because of Clay Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of former Yankees. And I remember saying this about the Devin signing. It's a small thing, but it's an important thing. It does help when you sign a former Yankee, or in your case, you sign a former Met, that the guy has experience pitching in New York. Like, if let's say the Mets signed Pete Fairbanks, besides the injuries that I just talked about, one of the things I would have thrown out there about Fairbanks was, he's been in Tampa.
Right.
Can he handle New York? We don't have to do that with Luke Weaver.
You don't.
So as much as it's easy fodder, I understand the appeal of actually signing someone from the other New York team.
I'll give you the, can I give you the downside?
Sure.
I brought up the mentality of Devin Williams. Devin Williams already has to deal with the idea of he's replacing Edwin Diaz. Now his biggest threat to taking his job with the Mets is the guy that took his job last year. It's got to be a little mentally wearing on you in that locker room.
Maybe. Probably not, but I'll let you make your theory.
Okay. You can smirk because I think I just brought something to the table. We can break that down on the Rico.
I don't think I'm going to break down the relationship of Luke Weaver and Devin. You like the signing, Tommy?
I do, and this tells me that Cody Bellinger's next. If they're going to just sign every former Yankee, why wouldn't Bellinger be a part of that, right? Like, I know, Evan, you have gone back and forth on this now, but after the signing of Luke Weaver, doesn't that once again get you back into camp that Bellinger's going
to
be a Met?
No, I think it has nothing to do with it.
Counterpoint, this proves Cody Bellinger's going to be a Yankee, because if they're not rubbing nickels together for Luke Weaver to bring him back, they're saving every last dollar for Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't think that one has to do with the other. I really don't. I think that the Met view, I'm assuming the Met view of Bellinger is similar to their view of Alonso, which is there's a certain area we'll go, and we're not going to exceed that. That's what I'm assuming the Mets are doing. And I think the Yankees may be doing the same thing, which is we're not going further than blank, whatever that is, 5 years, 6 years, a certain amount of money per year. I'm not sure. But I don't think this has anything to do with that, would be my guess. But hopefully we get an answer. And I'm very conflicted about Bellinger with the Mets because obviously as a baseball player, he's a really good fit. He just is. Like as a guy that can play multiple positions, as a guy that's a plus defender, as a guy that hits left-handed pitching, he's a good ball player. I'm conflicted on him getting a contract that I'm going to deem, why didn't you offer that to Pete? And I know I have to get over that.
Yeah, you do.
But you do. I'm just being honest that that's probably going to be my first reaction.
But you know why. You know why they're doing that. If they do it, it's because he's more athletic, he's a better defensive player, and he fits what David Stearns is trying to build.
I totally understand that he's more athletic. I totally understand he's a better defender. Like, I cannot argue that because I agree with that. But they're the same age, and Cody has more of an injury history than Pete does. And reliability matters. Like, say what you want about Pete and how unathletic he is and what kind of defender he is. Availability is really important, and I wouldn't shortchange that when you're signing a guy into his 30s. So I just disagree. Like, I get it. I just disagree. You know what I mean? Like, what would you value more, dependability or athleticism
of course,
and defense?
I would
forget the names because I think we're going to be biased.
A player A, player B.
Would you put more of a value on that guy plays all the time, but he's not a great defender, or he doesn't play nearly as much, but boy, when he plays, he's a hell of a defender. What would you put more value
on? Yeah, the first guy you mentioned, player A.
So we agree.
We agree, but David Stearns disagrees with both of us.
I know.
And I think that's just something we have to accept, that this is his plan, this is the way he's going to build this team. Oh, and if he gives him 5 years, it's because he valued Bellinger more than Alonso.
I think the way we do this as sports fans is we always eventually accept.
Yes.
But we offer our strong opinions when it happens.
When do you think you really finally get over Pete Alonso?
I'm not over DeGrom.
Bro.
I'm not. I still get pissy about it.
You made the NLCS after he was gone.
Yeah, they could have won the World Series if he was there.
You're not going to get... It's going to take you at least 3... That means we're working with that?
Do you think Joe's over Darryl? I don't think Joe's over Darryl.
Joe's not over Seaver.
You guys are insane. No, I got over Soto.
But you got to, first of all, come on, dude. The guy was there for 1 year. Don't do that.
We made the World Series.
I get that, but it was 1 year. It's just not the same.
It is the same.
No, it's not the same.
It is the same.
It's not. And also, here's the other difference. You really genuinely made every attempt to keep Juan Soto. You really did. The Yankees went to 16 years and $750 million. Like, they tried. They lost. They battled. They went to the one-yard line. They lost. With those guys, with Darryl, DeGrom, and Alonso, bro, they didn't even make a real attempt.
You guys got to get it together here. You're building something here with
you
the Mets.
You asked me a question.
I was
and I'm
the
giving
answer.
You an answer.
I thought you were going to be like, you know what? I sit down. I go through those gates opening day. We're ready. It's a new season. I wasn't expecting to say
No, but that's different. That's very different. Like, getting over something, the answer is never. Moving on enough to just evaluate things on their own, I don't know, a couple of weeks. That's different. But getting over it? I don't get over a lot of things. There's certain things you live with. You're like, no, I'm never going to get over that.
Are you over not working with Joe anymore?
I miss Joe, but I'm over it. I mean, he needed to move on. He wanted to retire. Like, what am I going to get mad about?
It's not mad, but
Craig needed more money. Like, I'm not going to get mad about it. Like, okay. Both of those guys left with good reasons. Like, I'm not mad at them.
Okay.
A show idea here for the new year as my last, act as executive producer.
What?
You guys need to have a sports intervention with Evan to help him get over these things of the past so he can move on as a sports fan.
How about we just give him an oil change?
I think it was oil check, but yes.
All right, let's go to Nick in Staten Island. What's up, Nick? Hello, Nick.
Hey, sorry, guys.
It's all right. What's up?
So, I saw the Weaver signing and got very excited.
Really? Are you a Met fan or a Yankee fan?
Met fan.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Why are you excited?
He's a solid pitcher.
Yeah.
When he's right, he's right. And pitching in Citi Field is a pitcher's park. He's not going to be giving up as many long balls. And with the Mets' new pitching coach, what's his name, Willard?
Yep, from Boston.
The guy's practically a pitching guru from what I've read and heard.
Well, I mean, we hope so. I can't sit here and tell you Justin Willard is a genius.
From what I've read.
From what we've all read. Like, I don't know. I think his first name is Justin. I should fact check that. But look, Luke Weaver has a very high upside. And that upside was, and I'm not mocking you, and I did put it out there on social media, not for people to mock you, but I thought it was interesting. Sean said Luke Weaver is the best and most trustworthy closer for the Yankees since Mariano Rivera.
I did say, can I also just interrupt you by saying, why did you put it out that way?
I thought it was, what do you mean, how did I put it out there?
You imposed the image of it as if you thought I was going to delete that tweet? Just quote tweet it.
No, I put the image out there. That's how I received the tweet.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
So I put it out there just so Met fans know that a diehard Yankee fan thought that highly of Luke Weaver. That was good information. I wasn't doing it to mock you.
But now I don't get the, the followers from it.
What do you mean?
You know, if you quote tweet it, people are going to click on my account.
No, stop getting into that stuff. I don't care. I just wanted to put out the information that a good Yankee fan, I'm respecting you here, that high. And look, I was reading some of the responses. Yeah. Like, some of them are jerky. Like, we don't claim him. He's really fat. But I thought Sam Wilbur had a great point, which is, what a tweet, LOL. Yeah, there were times in which he was unhittable and beloved. And he's right.
Yeah.
And I think that was your point, that there were times, specifically early last year, but more so throughout 2024, where he was that good.
Right. The 2024 postseason was the first time the Yankees had a closer since Mariano where you just knew the game was over.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was crazy to say.
Matt's in Belmore. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Evan. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is, you know how I know that you're a NARP?
A NARP?
And this is where I miss. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Don't you listen to Boomer in the morning?
I do. A NARP is someone who's very unathletic, which I confirm. I am unathletic.
Yes. And this is where I miss Tiki.
Go ahead.
This oil change thing has been going on for 20, 25 years. Have you ever played sports before?
Yes. And I refuse to pat people on the tuchus. I thought it was weird.
Well, then you'd be in for a credit card swipe.
I don't know what that is.
I got a vision of it.
Here's the good news, Matt. I gladly accept my narpianisms. It's not like I sit here telling you about my middle school stats and claim I'm something I'm not. So I fully embrace my narpianness. But really, again, I put this on Sean, Tommy, and Connor, who is supposed to know this stuff more than a NARP like me.
Look,
Sean has told me he's won championships in flag football.
Oh,
so he should know about the credit card swiping.
Yeah, but again,
they call this corn dogging.
I've had the tickle, I've had the pat, I've never had the thump. So are we talking about all movements in that area have been going around 20, 25 years?
We're
going
to find out when Tiki returns in less than 48 hours.
I'll Tushy. What do you think? Gray Rugemer came up to him in 2006 and said, Tiki, come here.
The Turkus.
Let's go to Tony in West Haven, Connecticut. Hey, Tony.
Hey, I just think sad day for the Yankees, man. I think this is the start of the end for them, man. I don't think they're going to sign Bellinger. I think they're looking to cut their payroll. I don't think they want to pay that tax on these guys. And I think they're going to start unloading players.
I don't think that's the case. I'll start with the last part. I don't think they're going to unload players. Like, look at the free agents they lost. I don't think they wanted them back. Like, I think that Brian Cashman said, you know what? We have David Bednar. We really like Jake Bird, who we acquired at the trade deadline. We really like Camilo Duvall. And those two guys didn't pitch that well. Bird was in the minor leagues.
Well, we don't know how Bird did in the AAA playoffs.
Right. That's a good point. I guess we can look at Baseball Reference. Yeah. You can go do that. There is a Baseball Reference for the minor leagues.
I found that out this year.
Yeah. Go look it up. Seriously. See how Jake Bird did. But I don't think they wanted Devin Williams. Like, I don't think it was necessarily...
Fernando Cruz they have too, by the way.
They do have Fernando. No, they've got guys. So I don't think with those specific players they wanted them back. I think they want Cody Bellinger back. And I'll tell you this about Cody Bellinger, who is a nice player. If they lose Bellinger to the Mets or someone else, and they pivot and sign a right-hand hitting infielder like Bo Bichette, I think they're better off.
Oof.
I really do.
Jake Bird pitched to a 6.32 ERA at Scranton.
That's not encouraging.
No.
It's a reliever. Don't worry.
Yeah, we may need to upgrade the pen.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019, and we are now celebrating 1 week of finding out the shocking news that both Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso would leave within 24 hours of each other. I have a whole list of potential names to describe that 24-hour period from some of our loyal WFAN listeners. We will see if we can name that moment in New York Mets history.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.